The Cayman Islands government is moving forward with what officials are calling a landmark housing initiative. Good evening, I'm Jevy Ebanks from the Radio Cayman Newsroom with a look at your latest news. Cabinet has approved instructions to draft the country's first Housing Act. Radio Cayman's Dion Anglin reports.
Housing was front and center the February 4th meeting as Cabinet approved drafting instructions for the development of the Cayman Islands Housing Act and accompanying regulations. The move comes as the islands grapple with affordability challenges that have left many Caymanians struggling to secure adequate housing. But housing wasn't the only item on the agenda. Cabinet approved several amendments to keep the country's financial services sector competitive, including updates to the Mutual Funds Act, Private Funds Act, and Virtual Assets Services Providers Act. All three bills will now go to Parliament for consideration. In the environmental realm, Cabinet gave the go-ahead for the National Conservation Protected Areas Order 2026, which will designate and protect additional Crown lands and Cayman waters under the National Conservation Act. On the transportation front, Cabinet approved drafting instructions to amend both the Traffic Act and Public Transport Act. Seven legal professionals were appointed as notaries public, and Cabinet approved a conditional right to be Caymanian for one individual, which will require parliamentary ratification. The government also launched an adult safeguarding task force and approved changes to the Litter Act and Registered Land Act, the latter designed to give homeowners and borrowers clear information when entering mortgage agreements. All ministers and members of cabinet were present. The full summary is available at gov.ky. For Radio Cayman News, I'm Dion Anglin.
Thank you, Dion. Premier the Honorable Andre Ebanks has outlined the next steps in government's work on cannabis decriminalization and the creation of a national lottery.
In June 2025, shortly after the general election, the NCFC government asked the Law Reform Commission to provide its learned recommendations and guidance on these two matters. And I'm pleased to have received subsequent updates from the Law Reform Commission chair as to its members' work. Independent review processes are essential in ensuring that future policy decisions are informed by evidence, expert analysis, and public input. The Law Reform Commission consults widely in performing its detailed work, and this government will consider its recommendations once that process is complete.
The Law Reform Commission is finalizing its preliminary review and will now prepare a public consultation paper, with consultation expected mid-2026. For cannabis decriminalization, the early work had focused on defining the scope of the review and comparing regulatory approaches used elsewhere. For National Lottery, the Commission is examining regulatory models, governance, safeguards, and economic considerations. Consultation is expected in mid-2026, with a final report projected by late 2026 or early 2027. The opposition wants more details after the Premier is quoted in a recent news article suggesting government is reconsidering several proposed new revenue measures announced in the 2026-2027 budget.
I'm looking forward to see what announcements of those fees that they're going to pull back or amend or change because it's causing high inflation already.
The news article quotes Premier the Honorable Andre Ebanks as saying some fees increased previously announced are still under review. Calling into Radio Cayman's For the Record on Wednesday, Deputy Leader of the Opposition, the Honorable Kenneth Bryan, said while the opposition welcomes the news that the government is listening to feedback from residents and businesses, his side is concerned any changes at this point will have a negative knock-on effect.
My biggest concern is because when they settled the budget, it was a bare minimum amount of wiggle room, and one of those things was the driver's license, which was the driver's license fees increases amounted to about $10 million, and that is the amount of surplus they were expected within the next year to 2 years. And if they're already reconsidering that, amongst other fees, my question now, my worry now is, will they be able to actually have a surplus for the next 2 years? Because it was already a tight squeeze.
Mr. Bryan says his side is putting together a series of parliamentary questions he's hoping will be answered when MPs meet in the House on the 4th of March. The opposition wants the National Coalition for Caymanians government to address any resulting revenue shortfall and how it will be addressed, if any expenditure will be adjusted, and if any projects will be deferred. To the court's verdict in the case of Jason Preston McLean, who's charged with rape and indecent assault against a girl under the age of consent, has been delayed. Mr. McLean was expected to learn his fate today following a judge-alone trial that concluded at the end of December. The case centers on allegations of sexual misconduct in both a car and a bathroom. The complainant gave detailed accounts during the police interview, while Mr. McLean has denied all allegations, insisting the claims were fabricated. A key witness testified that the girl had previously retracted parts of her statements, a point heavily relied upon by the defense. However, the prosecution argued that the accused version of events is implausible, highlighting inconsistencies in his timeline and describing the allegations as systematic abuse. Written closing submissions were filed in January, with Justice the Honorable Cheryl Richards expected to deliver a verdict shortly thereafter. The decision has now been pushed to next week, though no confirmed date has yet been released. In other court news, Mahawesh Bashwani is facing a charge of evading duties in connection with his arrival into the Cayman Islands in December 2024 when he entered as a visitor. The charges allege that he breached Section 58 of the CBC Act by failing to declare items in his bag upon arrival. Mr. Bashwani has not yet entered a plea in the matter, but has been granted bail and is due back in court next week. The court noted that he has voluntarily returned to the jurisdiction on at least two occasions to answer the charges, describing his compliance as commendable. When he returns on the 19th, the court indicated that the matter will be dealt with. Glenn Bush is currently on bail as he faces charges including possession of an offensive weapon. He's scheduled to return to court on the 24th of March to enter pleas into the matter. Until then, he remains on bail under strict conditions. He must have no contact with the witnesses or the complainant and must not come within 100 yards of either party. He's also subject to a residence requirement, a nightly curfew from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m., and a doorstep condition. Mr. Bush is further required to report to the West Bay Police Station weekly. His case will return to the docks later this month. You're listening to Radio Cayman's Evening News. Residents at the Ponciana Rehabilitation Center in East End are getting a new chance to learn hands-on skills thanks to a donation from a local metal shop. Here's Radio Cayman's April Cummings with more.
On January 29th, the workshop at Poinciana Rehabilitation Center shifted from storage space to opportunity as staff and clients gathered around brand new woodworking tools and equipment. The donation came from Artisan Metalworks, owner Caroli Suits.
This is just a very small donation from our team, and hopefully it will be put it into good use. So, and I know this is in one of the best place it can be.
Artisan Metalworks supplied a full range of tools, from hammers and sanders to other workshop essentials.
They can do some serious work with all these. Everything is in here. Look at that. So that when you have a whole different type of hammer set, rubber hammer, big hammer, small hammer.
Poinciana's director, Marsha Mullings Thompson, said the center has been preparing for this moment, and experienced staff are ready to support clients as the new vocational program begins.
Didn't I know it's long awaited, and we really do appreciate it. And I'm sure the clients are excited to be able to start that program, because we have experienced staff here who will be assisting you.
Yeah, we try to do our part. If it needs some assistance, we'll be always just a phone call away.
Clinical Director Dr. Mark Lockhart believes vocational training plays a crucial role in rehabilitation and is thrilled at this first corporate contribution dedicated to vocational programs.
This is an example of the community and business people and others in the community that have the ability to help, reaching out and contributing to a great cause. And so we thank you for being the first of...
Hopefully not the last.
And hopefully not Amen. The last. Thank you so much.
The Poinciana team hopes this act of kindness will inspire others in the community to come forward and share their skills, time, or resources to help residents rebuild their lives. April Cummings, Radio Cayman News.
Thank you, April. In other news, West End Primary stages its fourth satisfactory rating from school inspectors in a row. Radio Cayman's Carsley Fuller reports.
Weston Primary is a small government primary school located on the western side of Cayman Brac, serving around 70 students from reception up to year six. It's one of two primary schools on the island and is the smaller of the two. The proportion of students with special education needs and or disabilities is, quote, significant at 34%, with the majority of these students having additional learning support needs. In October 2023, Weston Primary was graded satisfactory, and it remains so, with some improvement seen during the October inspection. To try and boost its rating up to good or even excellent, the team at the Office of Education Standards is recommending Weston Primary build on work already started to support emergent readers in reception, raise attainment in English and math in school-based assessments and external tests, and increase the proportion of good and better teaching in math, English, and other subjects. I'm Carsley Fuller.
Thank you, Carsley. You can find the full inspection report online at oes.gov.ky. Finally, helping kids and parents navigate the complexities of an attention deficit hyperactivity disorder diagnosis continues to be a top priority for the Family Resource Center.
ADHD is basically a neurodevelopmental disorder where the brain is behind about 2 or 3 years neurodevelopmentally. And they have a deficit of some very important neurotransmitters, such as dopamine and norepinephrine. And so what happens is, you know, children with ADHD, they have to move to focus. Their brain is constantly seeking stimulation because of these deficits. And so if an activity is not interesting, or if it's not challenging, or it's mundane or boring, they're going to be easily distracted.
FRC's Miles Ruby offers counseling services through the organization for parents to better support their kids.
Just like with any disorder, you know, once you're diagnosed, there's typically a treatment plan, and that treatment looks very different. It doesn't always include medication. It can. That's usually the first line of defense to treat ADHD, especially if the symptoms are very impairing, like they're failing school, they're not learning to read or write because they can't stay focused, they can't sit still, and you know, they can't block out those distractions. And so it's a lot of things. It's also behavioral therapy, which is where I come in. I do the parenting strategies to help parents learn what to do and what not to do, because you have to parent a child with ADHD differently than you parent a child who doesn't have ADHD. And I know this from a fact, because I have one child who doesn't have ADHD and two who do.
The course includes 4 weeks of sessions that can be delivered individually or in group settings, which is expected to be hosted soon. You can learn more by emailing frc@gov.ky. That's your latest local news. I'm Jevy Ebanks. Have a great evening.